over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
A fun little taste. What's in the cards for the future of the Chicago Blackhawks, but also an example of what it takes for the Hawks to achieve with what they're going for. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 8:30 tonight here on 720 WGN for one final time from the basement of the United Center. Two games left now on the regular season for the Hawks, and both those will be on the road. Let's head on upstairs and bring in our pal Troy Murray. He was on the call with John Weideman tonight. Troy, a whole bunch of excitement in this building heading into this one with the news of Frank Nazar officially joining this team, officially being in the lineup, taking the opening puck drop, too, and winning that initial faceoff. And he quickly earned a spot in a lot of hearts of Blackhawks fans today with picking up a goal on his first shot. Very fun time. Unfortunately, everything that happened after that was all Carolina, but very fun start to this one.
Yeah, I liked what I saw in Nazar's game. He has got tremendous speed. That was very noticeable. And when you talk to Norm McIver, when you talk to Kyle Davidson about Nazar, the one thing that they talk about is ability to play a 200-foot game, but the speed that he plays the game at. And he plays it at a high level. Boy, you saw it a couple of times where he just separated himself from his checks, and that's something that, you know, he's only going to get better at. And for him to score his first shot in the NHL, a lot of excitement for him. He's not going to remember that they lost this game. He's only going to remember the fact that he scored in his first game. His family, his friends were here. That's a special moment for Frank Nazar. And certainly the Blackhawks got to be excited about what they saw in his first game in the NHL. Certainly did not look out of place whatsoever.
And thankfully, he was able to bury that goal, because the first opportunity he had, I don't know if we still are looking for a replay on it, but man, it looked like a prime opportunity for his first goal on the power play situation. But, you know, he didn't miss it the next time. He was a guy that was ready for the next opportunity.
Yeah, we never did get a look at it, but there was a big, juicy rebound. He was right there, and it looked like it was wide open. That I think one of the defenders for the Hurricanes got his stick in the way, and it might have deflected off his stick, because that was just a wide open net was there, and I don't think that he's going to miss that. But, you know, just the way that he played the game, he looked, you know, composed out there. He didn't panic. He got some penalty kill time out there as well, some power play time on the second power play unit. So there was some really good things for Frank Nazar in his NHL debut, that is for sure.
I do want to go back to a conversation we had in the pregame show, Troy, just in case anyone heading out from the game tonight wasn't able to catch it. But just the decision to bring Frank Nazar now, three games in the NHL, start his three-year entry-level contract. But as we were talking about it, it's not necessarily about burning a year or not burning a year. It's what's right for his development. And I know it's a small sample size. It's only one game. But it does seem like this kid is ready to start his NHL career.
Yeah, if the decision was up in the air and he wasn't 100% sure which way he was going to go, you probably don't put him in this situation. You know, hey, take your time, make your decision. I know that you just finished playing last weekend, or this past weekend, basically. Thursday was their game that they got knocked out in the first round of the Final Four, Frozen Four. But if he had that decision in his mind, and that's what he wanted to do, and obviously that's where they are now, then bring him out. They're not worried about, you know, burning that 1 year of the contract. You know, a lot of teams are worried about that, but the position that the Hawks are in, they're not really worried about that. Bring him in. Get a taste of what it's like to play in the NHL. Have him play his first game so next year it's not as new to him. Get him used to some of the guys inside the locker room there. Make sure that he's talking with Paul Goodman, the strength and conditioning coach, about what they want him to do in the off season, and then let him, you know, grow with confidence moving forward. But giving him this opportunity to be around the team, to see what it's like to play at this level, get a taste of, you know, some great opponents here. Carolina, boy, one of the stronger teams in the East. Now you got Vegas and the LA Kings. So, you know, you're going to get a real good dose of what the top teams in the NHL are all about. So that gives him a better idea moving into the offseason as well. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. But first and foremost, Frank Nazar has to be comfortable with his decision of coming out of school after his second year. And it's not an easy decision. There's so many factors that get involved with it. You become so close with your teammates. A lot of times if you're playing at the college level, you're playing 4 years, and those sometimes are the best 4 years of your life. So you have to leave one lifestyle. You move into another one. But that's what they all dream about. And for the opportunity for Nazar to come in here, first game at the United Center, score a goal, fans loved it. And it's just a special moment for him in his life.
He's talking with the media right now, catching it on NBC Sports Chicago. We'll get the sound eventually once Jack Heinrich returns, but they were showing some B-roll of his family celebrating in the suite, and the emotion his dad is giving is pretty cool.
It's actually up here in the booth as well.
It's so wholesome.
I've been watching it, yeah. It is. I mean, it's not only special for Frank, but it's also special for his family, for his mother, for his father's siblings, friends, you know, people that grew up watching him, supporting him. And there's a ton of people down around the Blackhawks bench right now, and I would not be surprised if that is not a lot of the Nazar clan, that he'll come out and he'll talk to those guys before they leave the building here. But this is a special moment for everybody, for the family. You know, those early morning drives to the rink, to the practices, the late nights, the traveling, everything that these guys go through, leaving home. He was part of the U.S. developmental program, and that's away from home. So to be rewarded with this opportunity to sign your contract and be in the NHL is something that everybody within that circle of friendship and family has always kind of dreamed about and hoped the best for him.
You and John were basically kind of getting towards this in your wrap-up about just the promise, or at least the high expectations for the Hawks' future. Scott Powers of The Athletic tweeted this out before the game. 7 Blackhawks 22 years or younger are in today's lineup. Connor Bedard at 18 years old. Kevin Korchinski at 19 years old. Frank Nazar at 20. Lucas Reichel, Landon Slaggart, Ethan Del Mastro at 21. Alex Vlasic at 22. So it's just cool that Nazar is one of these pieces, just one of these props with that youth, that high expectation that now are starting to get NHL experience, all starting to get in the fold. The picture is becoming a little bit clearer these days.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting next year what Kyle wants to do as far as, do you want to develop some of these players in the minors, like you've done with Vlasic, what you've done with Del Mastro, and let them grow in the minors together a little bit? Or do you want them, because you've got a lot of contracts that you have to fill next year. And they didn't want anybody, and he's done a great job in this regard, because he hasn't wanted players on long-term deals that are going to hamper their decision-making down the line. And so they've kept everything kind of clean. They've done short-term deals. They recognize some core guys that they want to lock up. That's Peter Mrazek, who, again, was spectacular in this game. The leader inside the locker room in Nick Foligno, Jason Dickinson. And then you have to figure out, you know what, is Nazar ready to play in the NHL? And that'll be determined next year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, is Del Mastro ready? Nolan Allen, who's down there, Isaac Phillips, who's down there. You know, do you give these guys an opportunity and go through some learning curves and some struggles again next year? It's, you know, next year is just not going to take off. Bedard's going to be better. He's going to have a better awareness of what it's like playing in the NHL. Hopefully Lucas Reichel has a strong push. He's going to end up going down to Rockford at some point to finish off either the season or in the playoffs. And he's all in for that, by the way. He's excited to go back down there. He likes playing with those groups, that group of guys down there. And, you know, then he'll come back with another solid off season of training. And that's important when you look at these guys and you know, are they NHL ready? But do you want them to learn at the NHL level if you just don't have the right mix? You can't go out there and say, oh, we're going to sign these, you know, free agents and stuff, because you don't want to put your salary cap space and freedom in jeopardy moving forward. Anybody who's a free agent, who's a high-end free agent, they want term. And term is something that Kyle Davidson does not want to give out freely to the wrong people. If it's a good fit and you can find a player that is going to help your team when this team is ready to play, they'll make that decision. But they're not going to just go out and sign some of the free agents because, okay, we need to do this. They need to stick with the plan, and they know that. They don't want to get ahead of themselves. And with the core group of young guys that you're talking about, the seven guys that were in the lineup here tonight, the future is great. There is so much positive to be thinking about and looking forward to. And we're not even talking about the guys in the pipeline who have been excellent. And right. They've got, you know, one of the best prospect pools. And they still has, as John mentioned, a ton of draft picks moving forward that, you know what, you don't want to overstep this rebuild and get yourself in your way of yourself moving forward. And that's one thing they don't want to do. So it'll be interesting to see what they decide next year. But I don't think they're going to do a whole lot, in my opinion, unless it's the right fit with this group of guys.
Well, and honestly, Troy, that's the one thing I've always kind of brought up is as great as the Blackhawks dynasty was, building up those teams, staying competitive year in and year out, Kyle Davidson was watching all of that. He was in the organization. He was seeing how that happened. So he also saw the demise of it. He saw what went wrong with that whole great process. So he has that knowledge of trying to prevent that from happening again. I feel like that's why he's so adamant of sticking to this plan, because he knows the long-term effects of it and the pros and the cons of it and going about it the right way.
Yeah, and when your window was there, you have to do everything to win when the window was there. And you're looking at all the teams across the NHL at the trade deadline, you know, getting rid of their first-round draft picks. And, you know, they don't want to give away their top prospects, but they're willing to give away their draft picks. And the Blackhawks did that for a lot of years, and they you know, they had to make some tough decisions with some of their younger players who now you would look at and say, boy, I'd like to have that guy back in the mix here. But those are decisions that you have to make. They're tough decisions to keep that window open. But the hard part is trying to figure out when that window is over, when it closes. And then you have to make some really tough decisions. And you know, that's where you end up being in the position where the Blackhawks are right now. You didn't have a lot of prospects for a lot of years. You were bringing in veteran players to help the core group to try and win again. And, you know, those are decisions that, you know, this team right now, Kyle Davidson, doesn't have to make. But they're benefiting from other teams trying to solidify their power, you know, their playoff opportunities. Last year, McCabe and Lafferty going to Toronto, you got a pretty good return. You right. Look at some of the other deals that they've made. You know, even who went down? Brandon Hagel. You know, Hagel went down there. You know, Tampa wanted him. They gave up a good price for him. You know, Blackhawks are now looking at those draft picks as a big part of the picture moving forward. So, you know, he's done an excellent job. And again, you know, how can you not be excited when you look out here? And you know, take a guy like Seth Jarvis, for example. This is his third year in the NHL, and this is the first year that he has flourished. He's got 33 goals on the season now. He had a couple in this game tonight. He only had 31 in his first 2 years. So, you know, you look at a guy like Lucas Reichel, sometimes players take a little bit more to develop. I thought that he was ready to take that next step, but, you know, this year was not the way that he wanted to go. But next year could be the year, and you've got to have him in the conversation here moving forward with all the rest of these guys. I've loved what I've seen from Slagard. He reminds me so much of Brandon Hagel, and very reliable type of player. And, you know, he's a guy that when you look at some of the older players that the Blackhawks have, and I'm, you know, I got like Colin Blackwell, and this is not a knock on Colin Blackwell because he has done everything that they've asked him this year, but he's 33 years of age. Do you want to put Slagard in a position to take that ice time away from Blackwell next year? And I'm just saying as an example of that type of player, and give Slagard that opportunity to grow, or rather to have an older player that, you know, really when this team's window to compete for the Stanley Cup again is real, those guys won't be a part of the process anymore because they'll have gone past. So, you know, you got to really look at how you want to construct the roster next year. And I don't think you're really going to have a great idea. You'll have Taylor Hall back next year, which is a big bonus in your top six, and a veteran player who knows how to play the game. But you have to make some decisions in the offseason about players that you want to bring in, complementary players to what you have. And you don't want to, again, put yourself in a position where, boy, Landon Slaggart is really ready to play. He came in, he put on 10 pounds. Boy, he looks great. Well, we don't have a spot for him because we've added too many free agents in the offseason. So tough decisions moving forward. But boy, you know, to get back to the original question with all the seven guys under 21 or 22 years of age in this game tonight, man, the future looks great.
Yeah, it's just fun to talk about it this way. I mean, when you're finally starting to see these pieces at the NHL.
We could break down this game if we want, but you know, it is what it is. It's you got two games left, and Peter Mrazek was great. Nazar scored his first goal, power play, penalty killing, the difference in the game, the special teams, which I thought was, you know, one of the keys coming into the game. Carolina so good in those areas, and it was, you know, major factor, obviously, in why Carolina was able to win this game. But when you talk about the excitement that was down there in the ice, and boy, when Nazar scored the goal, this place erupted.
You know,
they've been wanting to see Frank Nazar. And, you know, boy, he gave him a real good dose of what the future is all about. So let's get excited about that. Let's talk about the positives.
This crowd got on their feet for Nazar's second faceoff win. I mean, they were locked into his game. And
they were. I mean, there's a lot of hype, right, coming into this.
Yes. Well, it's like I said, it's fun to talk about all of this finally. And, you know, the Hawks fans deserve it for the patience during this rebuild. And it's still going on, but at least there's a few more pieces that have some more concrete conversations. And that's what we'll get into. So, all right, pal. Great stuff as always. Fun year, fun home season, and two more on the road.
You're done with me here at the United Center?
No, I'm not done with you just yet. No.
No, you're not done with me just yet because I'm going to see you in a few minutes.
Okay. I'll
bring you a surprise.
Ooh, a surprise.
A surprise.
I love surprises from Troy Murray. Is it another life lesson?
Oh, no. No. No more.
Okay. Well, I'll also see.
You're on your own, kid.
It's all right. I think you've taught me enough. All right, pal. I'll see you in a little bit.
All right.
All right. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight from the United Center one last time as the Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-2. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or if you'd like to text. We got to get to a break, but first I just want to read a couple of quotes, and our reporter Jack Heinrich just came back in. So we'll hear from Frank Nazar. We'll hear from Luke Richardson. But really quick, a quote from Frank Nazar on what last few days have been pretty hectic. This is from Charlie Romeliotis' Twitter. Pretty hectic, honestly. From being at the Frozen Four to flying in last night and then figuring out I was playing today was really crazy. I'm a little exhausted, but it was a blast. We'll hear from Frank Nazar eventually. This is the Blackhawks postgame show.
One-timer by Drury is stopped by Mrazek, and here come the Hawks the other way. 3-on-2 led by Jones. Put it in over the line. Nazar down the slide. Shoots, he scores! His first National Hockey League goal on his first shot. Welcome to the Chicago Blackhawks, Frank Nazar. It's 1-0 Hawks. What a shot.
Frank Nazar becomes the fifth Chicago Blackhawk to score a goal on his first career NHL shot in the last 10 years. The last one was David Gust. He did it last February in San Jose. Dennis Rasmussen did it back in 2015 against Nashville. Artemi Panarin did it in 2015 against the Rangers, eventually his new team. And Adam Clendenning did it back in 2014 against the Calgary Flames. But like John and Troy had mentioned, another guy that did it at the United Center, not only his first shot, but also his first shift, Jonathan Toews in his rookie year. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 8:30 tonight. Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 4-2. However, it was Frank Nazar's first goal that was kind of the highlight of this one. We'll give him our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. Since he was the man of the hour, kind of the man of the night, let's go to Frank Nazar, who chatted with the media after this game.
Not really too much. There's a nice play at the blue line, and I was able to go in, and I was just kind of shooting for whatever was open.
What have these last 48, 72 hours been like for you?
Pretty hectic, honestly. I mean, from being at the Frozen Four to flying in last night and then figuring out I was playing today. It was really crazy, so I'm a little exhausted, but it was a blast.
How difficult was the decision? What did it come down to turn pro?
It was a really hard decision. Just me and my family had to put things together, pros and cons, and just look at what we needed to look at, and it just all came down to what was best, and I know I made the right choice.
How did the speed feel for you in a real game? I mean, you've been with these type of guys before, but now this is a real competition.
Yeah, it definitely felt pretty fast. I mean, college hockey is still really great, and I think just where I played was awesome, and was able to get me ready for where I need to be at right here and right now, so all credit to that.
Did the World Juniors and how you finished up at Michigan help you make this decision in terms of how it set you up?
Yeah, 100%, I'd say.
How much are you looking forward to next season playing a full 82 games, whether it's here in Rockford, just kind of preparing your body mentally and physically for that?
Definitely getting that full pro season under my belt. It's going to be great, and just know I'm going to have a great summer of workouts and training, so then I come in just better than I am today.
Is this one of those things where until you go home, put your head down on the pillow and think about everything that's happened the last few days that will hit you?
Yeah, I mean, last night in the plane in, it hit me pretty hard, and it definitely was some motivation going into tonight's game.
Do you have any nerves going into tonight? Or?
Yeah, who wouldn't have nerves going into their first NHL game? And it was nice to get one early there, kind of calm it and play a little bit more poise. But the guys here have done a really good job, and they've been really nice and welcoming, and it's been really great.
Have you watched the replay?
No, I have not.
What about winning that first draw? What was that like?
I got a nice bounce there, so I was thinking the ref after.
Was the celly pre-planned, or was that?
No, it was just whatever I felt.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you call that celly?
Honestly, I don't know. A few of my buddies do it, so I kind of stole it from them.
How did you like the anthem as an American? Did it live up to what you've heard about in Chicago?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in the anthem. Honestly, like, I just love seeing it, and everybody like having so much passion and joy from the anthem, and it's awesome, especially representing my country overseas and in worlds, and being able to do great it means a lot to me. So seeing that was gave me goosebumps.
As a Michigan man, Jim Harbaugh would always say, "Who's got it better than us?" Has anybody had it better than you? Maybe this year in terms of hockey.
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question.
You didn't seem like right before the goal. You had a pretty good look on that power play. Were you?
Yeah.
What does that feel like? That like I missed my chance almost.
Yeah, a little bit, but usually when something like that happens, you're bound to get another one. So I end up working out, so I was happy.
How many friends do you have here?
A lot of people. A lot of people drove up, and I mean, a day's notice, so it's awesome. I can't wait to go see them and just celebrate them.
Were you feeling it about the third period?
Yeah, I mean, I was feeling a little tired, but I think that's just jet lag.
How much did you watch the Blackhawks while you were in college this season, and how excited were you to get to play with Connor finally?
I definitely watched them a lot more in the beginning of the season, and then once Michigan season started to get going, I kind of blacked everything Blackhawks related out. Actually, I keep up if they're winning, how guys are doing, but I just wanted to focus on where I was at and do my best to help that team win.
I know you dealt with the injury last year. How quickly did you feel like you were back to yourself this year?
I'd probably say around like halfway through the year. After World Juniors, I think that's when just confidence started to come back and started to feel more just like I could take over and just make plays.
A lot of you guys from the World Junior team, really took off after the tournament. The guys at Minnesota too, a real good springboard for you guys.
Yeah, it's just being able to go up against the top end talent in the countries and just knowing that you can make plays against them and be a great player out there on the ice. It definitely gives you a lot of confidence going back into college.
With so many young guys on the team, did anybody give you any specific advice that stood out?
Just honestly, I don't know. Just like enjoy it, take it all in. Obviously, that's the basic stuff. Just play my game. That was about it. Just be myself.
Where do you feel like your game grew the most this year in Michigan?
I'd probably say more of like the poise and like offensive like abilities. I think just being able to create more ozone. Coach Norado, I worked on him. I worked with him a lot on that, and just being able to see plays like that off the rush. I feel that I was really great going in, and he helped me work on the ozone. So I think that's a big thing that I was working on.
A whole lot to get to there. I love how he said he kind of just blocked out what the Hawks were doing because he just wanted to focus on his current team with the Michigan Wolverines. It just kind of shows what type of player he is. Definitely a live in the now, live in the moment type player, and one that clearly capitalizes on it and totally takes advantage of it. Quickly, the text line, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or text. Our buddy Devin from Palos Hills, perfect attendance on the postgame show. A bittersweet ending to today's game. Postgame show won't be the same without hearing the organ in the background when we talk with Troy. With the loss today, the Sharks cementing last place, the Blackhawks lock in the second best chances at winning the lottery. Yeah, I definitely want to get into that and the tank standings in the next segment, because it is, I think, important to talk about where the Blackhawks lay out in that situation. For the 773 area code, Mrazek great in goal again. Nazar, what a debut a year or two down the road. This is going to be nice and sweet to watch. A toast to the undiscovered country, absolutely. Definitely a lot of fun to look at the future pieces for this organization right now. In the 630 area code, wondering what Frank Nazar's faceoff numbers were tonight. He was the best player from the faceoff circle, it seemed. He actually finished 36.4. And listen, we're not going to totally criticize his faceoff game in his NHL debut, but he won the first two draws that he took, especially the opening draw. And if you heard him, he had a great line saying it took a good bounce. Had to thank the ref for that one. Just again, a guy that really seems to know the right thing to say. But yeah, great to see him immediately get thrown out there, understand the game right away, win a couple of his first draws. Maybe didn't work out the rest of the game, but again, we're not going to criticize too much on a 20-year-old in his NHL debut. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 8:30 tonight after the Hawks fall in their last game here at the UC. Two games left on the regular season, both on the road, taking on Vegas and LA, a couple of teams that are heading to the playoffs, but also trying to find their settings, or rather find their spots in the postseason to figure out the right opponent that they'll be taking on. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. You can call or you could text. From the 331 area code, do you think this kid has a good chance to break camp with the Hawks next season? As we were kind of talking about it earlier, I mean, just because he either makes the team or doesn't make the team doesn't mean that he's not going to be seeing time at the NHL level right away, or excuse me, throughout the rest of the season. It's going to be a see-as-you-go type thing with Frank Nazar. And I truly think if he continues this style of play that they're going to find a spot for him at the beginning of the season. I mean, if they found a spot for him right now, just 3 days after his collegiate season came to an end, why wouldn't they find a spot for him at the beginning of next year? Of course, it's going to determine how he does in training camp and how Kyle Davidson, Luke Richardson, and the entire Blackhawks front office really thinks about him. But again, if he's still kind of putting up this type of play, if he's still got this kind of confidence, odds are he'll do a pretty good job of maybe finding a spot on the roster. And something else I wanted to bring up, Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times added this to his story today of Frank Nazar getting the call to the NHL in tonight's game. Even though he, Connor Bedard, and Kevin Korchinski all become RFAs after their ELCs come to an end after two seasons from now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to be looking at the same type of contract. I know it was kind of, that was one of the controversial things about allowing Frank Nazar to join the NHL level right away, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to be looking at the same kind of contracts. Could be a bridge deal for a few of those guys. I'm sure Connor Bedard is going to be looking at a very wealthy contract at that point, but I mean, take a look at Lucas Reichel right now. Remember all the concern about him coming to the NHL level and quote-unquote burning his 11 games his first year in the NHL, and whether or not that was going to affect his first contract? I mean, clearly his progression at the NHL level hasn't been completely linear. It hasn't always been 1 year is so much better than the next. He's kind of taken a few speed bumps. So you have to put that all into account as well. And again, I think at the end of the day, the thing that matters most is what you get out of that player from the development, no matter how you get there. Speaking of Lucas Reichel, he chatted briefly with the media as well. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, I think I was way better in the last three games. we talked about it before the game. We want to, you know, end the home game. You know, if we lose, we gotta like battle till the end, and I think we did that. Unfortunately, we didn't get the win, but at least we like battled and tried our best.
What do you think of Nazar's first game?
Oh, he's unreal. He's a so fast and really skilled player, and he's got a good sally too. But yeah, it was a good game by him, and it's good to see him get a first goal.
How excited were you guys when he scored on that on the bench?
Yeah, we were really excited. I remember, you know, everyone remembers his first NHL game. It's a dream come true. So it's really exciting for the team. And like I said, he played an unreal game.
Do you get a feeling this team has got like ahead of you guys next season, that things are really going to start gelling even more?
Yeah, I hope so. But I don't want to think about next season now. I think we got to look at the last two games. Mm-hmm. Two games now. So finish the season strong, and then we'll see.
That was Lucas Reichel chatting with the media. We got some calls, and we're bumping up against time, so I want to get to as many as we possibly can. Let's start with John. He wants to talk about a few of the young kids. Go ahead, John. You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, after a few long seasons for us, I'm a little excited. Frank Nazar, quick, strong feet, looked definitely good positioning, looked like he belonged. Game one, Ethan Del Mastro looked like he belonged, looked very good out there. And the question I really had is, talking about quick, strong feet, Wyatt Kaiser, he is a quick, strong, fast defenseman who it seems like he's always slowing down to let other people catch up to him. He's putting on the brakes for this team, and what's the future for that young man? Because I think he's got a lot of talent.
All right. Hey, John, thank you very much for the call. A lot of good points. I'll try to get to as many as I can because, again, I want to run through as many callers as possible. And, again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. Yeah, totally agree with your assessment on Frank Nazar. Let's also put into account that his collegiate season just ended a few days ago, so he's kind of just riding high right now. Playing in the Frozen Four, feeling all that momentum, and then signing your first professional contract, getting the call up to the NHL level. I mean, there's a lot working in his favor, but you do have to credit him for standing up to that type of moment and excelling. Ethan Del Mastro, I agree with you as well. My heart kind of bled for him when he had that last touch on the goal for Carolina on the Seth Jarvis power play goal. That was a rough moment. Didn't really explain his type of game. And the Wyatt Kaiser point is interesting. I think the main praise of his game all year long has been how he just plays so well with the size that he has as a defenseman. He's not the biggest guy, but he knows how to play and position his body in the right ways. But it does seem like he's in the right spot right now, getting a lot of responsibility down in Rockford. I saw that he got in a fight yesterday defending one of his teammates, and they're poised to go on a long playoff run, so they definitely want Kaiser to be a part of that and just earn more responsibility, gain more confidence, and use more of his game. Let's quickly go to Dave, and then we've got to get to a break. Dave wants to talk about the draft and free agency. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, so a couple things. Obviously, last year, anybody could have pick Connor Bedard because that was a known like first choice or first pick. But I think Kyle Davidson really has to nail it on this pick, whether it's two or three or whatever we end up getting. But it's got to be somebody that can step in and play right away. And the other thing I had to ask your thoughts on was earlier on the radio show, they were mentioning, you know, the draft capital and maybe him making some moves with all the picks that we have. With us being so far under the salary cap, if they don't make some huge moves in the offseason with some veteran guys that come in here and help some of these younger guys, I think you're going to see the United Center a lot emptier than we did see it this year, because I think a lot of fans are going to get a little disappointed with the way that, you know, the Hawks are. I get the rebuilding phase, but
okay, Dave, gotcha, Dave. Thank you very much. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we got to get to our next break. I will address all of that after this break. Sorry, we're just really tight on time right now. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. Wrapping up the Blackhawks postgame show as efficiently as we can. Our last caller wanted to talk about the upcoming draft and the upcoming free agency. With today's game, the Hawks have locked themselves into, at worst, the number 4 overall pick for the upcoming draft. There's a chance they could still get the number 1 odds, but it looks like that's going to go San Jose's way. I have been on the record in the past saying that I would like to see the Hawks go with Artem Levchinov if they don't get the number 1 rights to Macklin Celebrini. It seems like Celebrini's the outright number 1 overall pick. I like the idea of going after a stud defensively after getting all these offensive guys for the past couple of years. There are other good choices, though, offensively. Ivan Demidov, Caden Lindstrom, Cole Iserman. And don't forget, the Hawks have 2 first-round picks for the next 2 years, so they're set up pretty well there. In terms of free agency, it's really tough because, as Troy was mentioning at the end, or rather the beginning of the pregame show, it still all has to work for the Hawks in the long term spectrum. Because they've got all these young guys, you want to set yourself up for sustained success. You don't want to just sign guys because you're a little bit tireless of not winning lately. It's got to work out for everything. That's going to do it. Blackhawks hockey's been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. And Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to Colin McCarthy, Tony DiNardis, and Krista Flores here at the United Center, Jack Heinrich, John Weideman, Troy Murray, and Paul Zerang. Steve Ruxton has your news next. After that, it's WGN Radio Theater. I'm Joe Brand. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you from Vegas tomorrow night from the Stadium Swim.